views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment this morning. Today, the 3rd of February. Whoa. You were gone, Nathan.
Yes, sir.
January disappeared.
You know, I am...
Went out the door.
I'm glad. It was a very busy month for me.
It was a weird month, wasn't it? 7:05 in the morning news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. And as I said, Nathan's here running the show.
Good morning.
So everything from now on is your fault.
Whoa. I'm used to it.
Hey, do we have a any kind of national date today?
You know.
Because we know what yesterday was.
We do?
Groundhog Day.
Oh, that's right.
And in honor of Groundhog Day, I watched Groundhog Day last night with Bill Murray. And Linda said she'd seen it a long time ago. I'm sitting there, I'm just rolling around laughing.
Right.
And she goes, what's funny about this? I said, the guy steals the Patoxy Phil. The woodchuck steals it, and the police are chasing him. Other people are chasing him, and there's scenes where the ground chuck is driving he's sitting in Murray's lap, and like he's driving the truck, and he goes, no, don't drive angry, And then he takes it, and they think they've trapped him. He drives it over the side into the big quarry, granite quarry. And the truck just goes all the way down and smashes, and they're looking, and the cameraman of the news crew goes, well, maybe he's okay. And then the truck explodes. And then the next scene is he's laying in bed in a sunning chair singing, I got you, babe.
I got you.
And so, yeah. I mean, and so we were talking about it a little bit yesterday. I said it's like 50 years. The director says it was like he was there 50 years to learn to do all these things, maybe longer. So, but if you haven't watched it, it is, it shows a man that goes from being so self-absorbed, into turning into like a human being. It only took him 50 years, one day at a time, the same day. Every day. Do you ever feel like that? Oh, what day is this? Wasn't this yesterday?
I'm very busy in a lot of lives that I have. So,
With all those different personalities, it must be you know.
Yeah.
So, what's the weather look like today?
Oh, the weather. The weather today is going to be rainy.
If you don't have it, I have it right here.
Oh, no, I have it. I just was going to do the National Day. And then
National Day.
Well, it's National Wear Red Day. I failed that one horribly.
Wear red.
Yeah. Are you wearing red?
No.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. And then it's also National Day the Music Died.
Oh, Don McLean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
we have to play a little bit of that today.
I'm going to play a couple of those, artists. And it's national carrot cake and bubble gum. Two separate things.
Two separate things.
Right. It's a national carrot cake day and national bubble gum day.
This is one of the great things about being my age. I remember the bazooka bubble gum. And it came in, I mean, it was a big chunk of gum.
Did it have a little cartoon
wrapped
on it?
Yeah, it was wrapped on the outside, and I mean, you could literally split it in half because it was that big, and it had like a channel there, like you could do that, and you could chew that all the time. Oh gosh, bazooka bubble gum.
Oh, bubble gum.
I'm afraid to take my fillings out now.
Carrot cake. Yes or no?
Yes, sometimes, but it's rare because it's so sweet. You know, you can take like two bites, and it tastes great, but that's about it.
They always add really rich icing on it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, they pile on like an inch of icing. Yeah. The cake itself is moist and flavorful, but you got to cut through 2 inches of icing.
Anyways, today is rainy. Rain mainly before 11. High near 50 today. West wind 6 miles an hour. Chance of rain about 90% all day. And, tonight it's going to be patchy fog around 1 a.m. Otherwise cloudy with a low around 42. Saturday is going to be 20% chance of rain after 11 a.m. Patchy fog around between 9 and 10 a.m. Otherwise cloudy. Little precipitation. And then tomorrow night, rain, low around 42. Another 8 mile an hour wind. Chance of precipitation, 100%. So it's going to be raining.
It's going to be raining Saturday night. So all of my 1,000 friends that are going to be there at the crab feed.
Oh, yeah.
One Safe Place crab feed. It's okay because it's indoors. You don't have to worry about it. But just prepare to get there. You might leave a little bit earlier so you can get there on time. And just be careful. Yeah. But come on down. We're going to have the crab is being served. We've done it in the rain before. So this is not our first rodeo.
And Sunday, be careful. It's going to get freezing and windy. So, yeah. Yeah, lots of frost. It's going to get a low around 36 on Sunday night. So,
okay, now, because of that, and it's going to be maybe rain too, so be careful out there because with the there's going to be, you know, especially as you're heading up towards Shingletown, it could be a lot of ice. So just be careful. Okay, hey, the weather reports, not the weather, but the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, business out of Anderson, treats their customers like friends. They're like those little angels that go around doing things for people and causes. I can't say enough about the Kenny family. It's a veteran-owned business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. So you're out there going, I know you're saying, it's Friday. Where's Katrina? Well, Katrina called me, and there was an incident with keys and locks. So she's not going to make it today. And no, nobody's hurt. No animals are hurt. Anything like that. It's just a logistical thing that happened. So we'll catch her next week. We had Mark Story on this week. He was talking about, he's got a dog out there that's black and white, Pity, that's been on the show. We've had a photo of it in here. And he just says everybody loves this dog. And they cannot figure out why he hasn't been adopted. Because he is a goofball, and he's affectionate, and he just is. So if you're looking for a good dog, in fact, one of the employees takes him out, and he's kind of become his office dog. So that kind of tells you, you know, he can come in there, lay down in the office, sit there, you know, and be your dog. So if you're looking for that pet, long-term buddy, then go on down there and ask about the, I'm trying to remember the name of the dog, but it was a black and white Pity we had here a couple weeks ago, maybe even last week. Okay. When we come back, I've got all types of things that are happening here in Reading. I've got other things that are nationwide and a couple that are statewide that we're going to get into at 8 o'clock, 8:05, around there. Congressman Lamoff is going to give us a call, and I've got all types of questions for the good congressman about what's happening back there in the denizens of the swamp. But this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, Reading's dish premier local retailer, providing our area with best value, service, and technology in TV for over 30 years. If you're paying too much or you're missing Newsmax, give Doug a call at 530-241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call Doug Tooley. He's been in the business for over 30 years. B&T Satellite, 530-241-3474. We'll be right back.
Like a girl. Oh, baby, that's the one I like. What's that, honey? Take you up at 8 and don't be late. But, baby, I ain't got no money.
CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
JastaBeam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from JastaBeam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Redding at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die."
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This will not be the day that I die, but this is the national, the day the music died. So Don McLean's American Pie. And, you know what? I saw a documentary on McLean in the song. The whole documentary was about him and the song. It took him 10 years to write this song.
Well,
and it told his story. He would write in this little bitty room he rented. It was like a sleeping room. And he would go in there and write and write and write. And it, and they did not, the publishers did not want to record the song because it was too long. This is before, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody that went, how long did that go? Like
7, 8 minutes?
48 minutes.
48, yeah.
Something like that. But if you remember in A Gotta Da Vida, do you remember that song?
Yeah.
And I can't even remember who did it, but I remember it in college. It lasted forever. You'd start it at the beginning of a party. It would still be playing at the end of the party 12 hours later. Anyway, it's just a great documentary about him, about the song, what each thing meant to him, from his childhood and all these things. You know, the gym he was, went to school, they showed that. I mean, the whole thing was just great. I don't know why I keep telling you about Gateway Unified School District, because it seems like every other day there's something happening there. A citizens committee this time has filed a lawsuit in Shasta County Superior Court against the Gateway Unified School, asking the judge to force the district's Board of Trustees to follow its own policies in hiring a new superintendent. The board voted January 18th.
What?
To bypass the procedure known as Board Policy 2120 for hiring a new superintendent. The process would include recruiting for a superintendent, screening applicants, and conducting interviews, which, you know, it seems like a good idea. However, the if I understand this right, and is that they decided they don't want to, you know, that they have found a superintendent that has got the credentials and everything, and they wanted to hire him. And Cheryl Clifford, who is, I guess, the president of the board, in December signed a now, see, I've read this three or four different times, these stories, and the word proposed contract was used. It's not in this story. But she signed a contract to hire Brian Caples of Reading, who ran for Shasta County Office of Education, and that he had Brian had his administrative and teaching credentials suspended by the state commission on teacher credentialing, but it was for like a month or less than a month, and I think that's quickly approaching its dead date there. Anyway, in addition to the district, the suit filed by the Gateway Citizens Committee also names the three trustees who voted to bypass board policy, naming the president, Clifford and Elias and Lindsay Haynes. So, now, if you're the board, I guess you could vote to not do that, not to follow the policy. Now, the acting superintendent doesn't think it's a good idea. I mean, it continues to go on and on. And the citizens, okay, let me see here. The citizens, Gateway Citizens Committee. Where were you all when the election was going on? You know, I hate to say it, but as President Barack Obama said, elections have consequences. They won the election. They obviously had enough support to say, and saying that we need to change the way it's going there. They fired the old superintendent, and I've read things in that have been sent to me, you know, documents about his performance of action. And I mean, it's out there; it's public knowledge. And it wasn't like he was getting a, you know, 100% approval from the parents or his teachers by any means. But you know, again, the new board has a lot of power, as Judy Flores told us many times. And finally, the people that were, you know, were yelling at Flores because, you know, you're letting them do this, you're letting them do this. And as she has said on this show multiple times, the people who run the education in their districts is the school board. They hire the superintendent. They choose the books. They do, you know, the policies and all. It comes out of the school board. Does not come out of SCOE. Which, you know, I mean, I understand that. And I think everybody understands it now, I would hope. And, I, you know, if you don't, trust me on this. Just trust me on this one. It's the school boards in every district that has the power to hire and fire, make those decisions for the children in that district. So I got a feeling this is going to continue on and on. Now, the Gateway board did pull back and say, you know, when they, you know, on how they were doing it, they want to make it transparent and all this. So, I mean, they're trying to meet this, but the aftermath of the election has been very interesting at Gateway.
Well, they're not boring.
Another big announcement. And not a surprise, you heard it first here probably 6 months ago. See, when was the election for governor? Last November, right?
Oh, that feels about right.
And Brian Daly, good guy, lost. But he got more votes, but he still lost by, what was it, like a million? But he's terming out in next year. So in a surprise announcement, Megan Daly announces her run for the California Senate. I said, I would be extremely surprised if she didn't run for Senate. Brian Daly had the assembly seat, ran for Senate, won the Senate. Assembly seat was open, and Megan ran and won easily. And then won her reelection with 62% of the votes in November. So she's got name recognition. She's done a good job. And so now she's going to run for the Senate. Now, she put it out early like this, I'm sure, is to discourage people and to let people know what her plans were. Now, if anybody is planning on running for that Senate seat, that'll be interesting. First of all, it'll be other Republicans that have a shot at it. But now, what's that do for the assembly seat? Now you are going to see a dogfight for that assembly seat. Good for radio. Good for radio. Terribly selfish of me, but I hope they have like six candidates running and it goes into a runoff.
You know, Carl, maybe I'll run just to make it really fun.
You know what? I'll run. Let's all run.
Let's all just.
No, yeah. But for the assembly seat now. The with Shasta County being you know the big kahuna in North State, but there are probably four or five people I can think of right now that are going to make a run at that seat. I mean, really, and maybe some names you've heard before, and are going to go for that. So that's going to be interesting. I think, you know, Megan may be challenged by other Republicans, but she's got the Republican committee behind her, and the Republicans would just as soon have no other Republicans really run so they can save their money for the big elections there. Okay. Congratulations to Megan. Now, my other question is, what's Brian going to do? Brian, for his whole, you know, I've known Brian for, you know, 12 years. And I know he is a farmer. He loves doing that. But can he leave his position in the California Senate and come back home and be a farmer? And then Megan's going to be down there and he'll be up here. So the question is, what's Brian going to do? Is Ted Gaines going to not run again for the, Board of Equalization, which, by the way, in my opinion, is the greatest job in government because, like, 4 years ago, the California Senate took away 90% of their of their duties.
What's he do then? Sign a check?
Now, here's the funny thing is they took away not only their duties but most of their people, and yet they're getting paid the same amount. And got a raise.
You know,
I want a job like that. Take away 90% of my duties. Give me a raise. Hello.
Hey, Carl. I feel like I should be the board of organization here.
No. Equalization.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, and cut back 90. You're only in here 2 days a week, buddy. You want to cut back to one and then get a raise?
Can I?
No, not at all. I tell you, you'll get a raise when I get a raise.
Aww.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, these are questions, but you're going to be seeing them a lot. It'll be interesting to see now people already knew, I think, in their hearts that Megan was going to run for Brian's seat. It just makes sense, right? You fleet up to the Senate. But the assembly race, that's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see what happens. Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Community oriented. It's dedicated to taking care of our citizens. So they've been in the business 15 years and they've been helping move local dreams forward since the day they began. We do business with Cornerstone Community Bank. Very happy with that. And, got 4 branches, 1 Red Bluff, 2 right here in Redding and 1 down in Anderson. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey there, friends. This is RC from Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar is Sin Compromiso Selección No. 2. This is one of the very best in our treasury of cigars. Made without compromise, this wonderfully crafted torpedo took years of experimenting using Japanese farming techniques. The result is a truly unique and complex smoke. Each cigar is gently soft-pressed and sleeved in Spanish cedar and available in very limited supply. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu.
It is a beautiful day. Wake up, everybody. Wakey, wakey. It's 7:34 here on the 3rd of February. It's Friday, and it's going to be a full weekend. My friends, it's also going to be a rainy weekend. It's going to be a cold weekend. So be careful out there. Drive carefully and try to stay as dry as you can. I will be out in the rain this morning. immediately after the show. This is my day-to-day. I go to the dentist, then I go grab my horse, load her into a trailer, and then take her to the vet, and then kind of wait around, and then bring her home. So, and then my in-laws are coming in. So, this is going to be a big day.
Wet.
Yeah, it is. I've got all these stories, but I guess I should take the time to talk to Nick. Hello, Nick. Hello, Nick.
Oh.
You get one shot, baby. That was it.
Oh, Carl, I got busy here. Can you call back in 5 minutes?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Don't hold your breath.
Hey, listen, I see where they had a little protest or march or some damn thing down at the city center last night in opposition to police brutality. And I wanted to encourage the listeners to listen to Poke the Hornet's Nest Sunday because I've got a completely different take on that. And I think they'd be well-versed to listen to me.
Well, I have a completely different take on it, too.
And we've
talked about it for like 3 days. We had the chief of police on, who I thought was really open. He and Captain Ron Isley were here talking about the incident, what they did, how they handled it, and with an officer who has not had a problem in 7 years. It was definitely wow. It was definitely something happening there, but I don't know what.
You'll enjoy what I have to say.
Well,
you tune in.
Make sure it has nothing to do with trials and hangings, okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely
okay.
Not. No, I'm with the police.
Well, no, I know you are. I know you are. And the vast majority of the people in our city are with the police. But there are, you know what? This group has a perfect right. They're saying this was an incident that shouldn't have happened. At least it appears it shouldn't happen. We don't know the details and all that. But they're showing an interest, and it wasn't violent. It was a protest about that, bringing on the body cameras, making sure that there's transparency and all this. I believe the police are doing it. They've already started. You know, they've had body cameras on the street for 4 days now, and they're going, you know, for their test that are going to go on for 90 days, and then do another test on another set of equipment for another 45 days. So they're going to make it happen.
Well, I think we ought to pass an ordinance that this group can't protest anymore. They never miss an opportunity to protest.
Why would you do that? Okay, then they'll pass an ordinance that says you can't have free speech on radio.
Well, then we'll have a local civil war. Anyway, well, I'm just rambling on.
I know you are, but that's on your show Sunday at 8 o'clock. Got it.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on Kathy Darling and the Dominion machines. You know, it's obvious that the majority of the people do not trust machines to count their votes. And Kathy Darling isn't making an effort to find an avenue to vote that we trust. And I believe that's what she should be doing. And I'll leave you with that thought.
Okay. Thank you very much. That in itself, I want to have Kathy on to talk about it, and I also want to have, you know, one of the board of supervisors on to talk about it. Why did we do away with the Dominion machines? It was a 3-2 vote. What other machine? From what I understand, you know, they say Dominions are built in another country. Well, the other two machines are also built in another country too. By law, can we go back to the ballot single? I mean, you walk in there, everybody has to come in and do it that way. And, you know, we've been having mail-in ballots for years here. And the majority of the people use the mail-in. You know, they get their information, they fill it out, and they mail it in. We've been doing that for a couple of decades. So the whole thing comes down to is the counting of the ballots. And they're saying are they saying the machines that count the ballots are the ones that, you know, it can do something to it, it can skew it. And we've had elections here that both sides have won. So I mean, they have, okay? I mean, both sides have won. You know, they wanted Leonard Modi out, That happened. They had all these candidates running. Most of them didn't make it. And then the next election, the candidates, very conservative candidates did win. So I'm not sure, Patrick Jones won. I mean, I'm not sure because I haven't read everything and I haven't seen as much as I've tried to, but I haven't seen the whole story. So I need to get a board of supervisor in, one of them in, to tell me about it and, why. And then I need Kathy Darling Allen to come in and give the other side saying, hey, the Dominion machines, we've had these. And anyway, Zog fire. Remember the Zog fire? Made the announcement yesterday that PG&E is going to return to court in February and be arraigned for its alleged role in the 2020 Zog fire. And it said they will be held to answer today for multiple felony and misdemeanor criminal charges. That includes 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter and 3 counts of recklessly starting a fire. That's going to happen at February 15th. The trial date may be set. And this is after state fire officials released their findings regarding how the fire started. A gray pine fell on PG&E electrical lines along the Zog Mine Road. And it began on September 27th. And they think the fires, and it ended up scorching 56,000 acres, 204 buildings went down, and 4 deaths and 1 injury. Now, I asked when all this was coming out, if you charge a company, a corporation, with involuntary manslaughter for not doing their job, who's held responsible for that? Well, it's the corporation. I said, but somebody in there, but no individual, right? No individual.
This pin is responsible.
Somewhere in there, yeah. Somewhere in there, somebody didn't do their job. Somebody, I've heard that it was reported, that these trees needed to be removed. And 2 years later, they hadn't been, and one dropped. I don't know if that was a a true source, but when I was reading it, that was part of that background on it. And now they're saying it was an equipment failure. But somebody didn't do something. Well, is anybody going to be held responsible, or is it just one of those force majeure that happens? And so the only person, or the only entity you can hold responsible, is a corporation. And then, is that the CEO? Because the CEO they have now wasn't the CEO then.
Right.
But at least they're going after the company and say, look, you caused this through your neglect. People died. Homes were destroyed. You're going to be responsible for this. So.
Maybe they're the
good on you. Good on you, DA. Good on you.
They're the only ones that have insurance to pay it off, maybe.
And there's a school here in the U.S. that we were just talking about it during the break.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to find it. I'm trying to go back and find it. 130 students in the school got sick, and it was like projectile vomiting. Now, I don't know what age group or anything, but can you just see this at a middle school, that 130 students all of a sudden get sick? And, projectile vomiting, it's not like just kind of like,
Las Vegas school.
Las Vegas school.
Yeah.
Projectile vomiting means just that. It leaves your body with such force, it goes out a couple of feet, maybe more, and then anybody in the range gets hit. So, Las Vegas, huh? Was it after lunch? I would imagine it was after lunch. Which would make it even worse. I think the school was canceled that day. Okay, we'll go home early today. If any of y'all ever called in and said, "Hey, I want to come in, but I've got projectile vomiting," as soon as the word projectile,
we're good,
leaves your lips, you're home, man. I don't want you here. And then you can have, you can get it from the other end too. No. As soon as you get the word projectile out, stop right there. Don't talk to me anymore. and don't come see me.
Sick day.
Until
got
it's,
it.
Yeah. There you go. Take your sick day. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Oh, no. Let me get this in. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know, Jeff Wurst down there has been doing this for a couple of decades. There's nobody better than him in repairing windshields, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. That's Jeff Wurst. He guarantees his work. He guarantees it for the life of the windshield. So if something, you know, if it starts to expand again, take it right back down. He'll repair that and not charge you because he guarantees his work. And for a free inspection and analysis, stop by 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment. He does outstanding work. I've got a crack in my windshield he fixed back in 2007, and you still can't see it. That's the kind of work that Jeff Wurst does. It's a veteran-owned business, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We'll be right back.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie.
Columbia Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, taking place Saturdays at 2 p.m. inside the Mill Building at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp at Turtle Bay. Now through February 11th, come experience this 30-minute indoor animal show in person to learn how animals of all kinds survive in the wild. Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay, Saturdays at 2 p.m., free for members included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D, murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck week? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, the longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 37 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebates and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. It's a great place to shop, outstanding selection at very, very fair prices, locally owned, locally run. Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. 7:50 in the morning here on the 3rd of February, and it is 40 degrees out there. Looks like rain.
Do you ever hit snooze?
No.
You are just up early, ready to go all the time.
Just like that. Oh. And unfortunately,
I'm jealous.
I'm one of those people that likes to stay up later at night. Like Linda is out, at, you know, 9:30. And, but, you know, at 11 o'clock, I'm looking at it going, I bet I could do another half an hour. Last night, though. I was in bed by 10. So, yeah, I was, you know, and I have no idea why, except I was, you know, bandaged a horse and it was stressful. And not for the horse, obviously, but for me. Because it's got to be done a certain way. You know, you've got to, first of all, you put the little bandage around where the wound was. So that can only be a certain tighten, you know, a certain little compression on that. Then you put on these, you put on this wrapping cotton, and it's thick and it's layered, and you have to wrap it around and pull it around. So you, and then you put on another layer of gauze tape around it, and then you put on the stretchy stuff that holds, and then at the end you put on more stretchy stuff on to cut, you know, to put in both ends to keep stuff out.
I love how you just keep referring to it as stretchy stuff.
Stretchy stuff. It's it's a tape. It's a it's an athletic. You know, I mean, it's
yes,
it's the bandage. It's sticky, and it's, you know, it holds it in and right. All that, and it's got to be done a certain way. And I went, gosh, did I do that way? Did I start at the bottom? Maybe I started in the middle, and then I worked my way down, and then back up. To the, you know, so anyway, hey, went shopping last night. I was at the Linda had her show. And I was at the Reading Rodeo Association. By the way, my friends, the 75th anniversary of the Reading Rodeos this year, 75 years.
Wow.
And you know what? We've got tickets on sale right now. And we've been selling a lot of tickets. And if you want a box or sit in a box, we've got, I think, Wednesday and Thursday, may have Friday and Saturday are sold out already. So you want to go to either Reading Rodeo Association online or call the ticket office, because she's down there a couple of days a week already. But you can go online and get tickets. But we are, like I said, the boxes are sold out for Friday and Saturday. And if you're looking at Rodeo Flats, that is, I think those are gone. Chicks and Chaps get, there's only 100 ladies that can go to Chicks and Chaps. And I think they've got most of that sold out. So if you're interested in participating this year and seeing just a great rodeo, one of the top 25 in the nation, go to the ticket office now and get your tickets. And make sure that you got seats. Anyway, after that, we went down to an unnamed store to go shopping. It's right, unnamed right. Because, you know, I walk in there. I don't leave my car unless I'm armed at this store down there on Pine Street. And
it's fine.
We bought like four bags of groceries, not even full bags. $163.
Sounds like a good deal.
While overall inflation is starting to slow, food prices continue to increase. The pace of the increases have decelerated in recent months, but only a little bit. Food prices rose 11.8% in December from a year ago, compared with 12% in November and 12.4% in October. So they're only 11.8%. Now, fresh fruits, fish, and seafood fell in December from November, according to the Labor Department. Grocery prices rose at a faster pace than restaurant bills. So people buy food to go home and cook, where maybe it might even be cheaper to go out at a restaurant. Ooh. Prices had to go up also. usually, like I said, it's usually cheaper to buy groceries and cook at home than it is in restaurants. Grocery prices hit a 40-year high in August with a 13.5 increase. Since then, it's moderated some. And, of course, the why? Rising energy and commodity prices because of lingering effects from the supply chain disruptions. And we just did a story this week where something like 250,000 chickens died in a big fire at one of the largest egg-producing places in the nation, caught on fire and burnt to the ground. And, you know, they throw in Putin's invasion into the Ukraine. Well, that has something to do on the wheat supply because a lot of the wheat comes from Ukraine. And then the avian flu outbreak that has curtailed the national supply of eggs and sent prices soaring. Prices soared in December by nearly 140% from a year ago. Now, what did it cost me last night for 18 eggs? I think it was a good deal.
You think it was a good deal?
It was like $5, $6, $5 something. There's other eggs in there that are up $7. I mean, there's $7 for a dozen. Are you kidding me?
It used to be like $3.
So. It used to be under $2.
Under
$2. Now, millions of birds have been slaughtered over the past year in an attempt to control the avian flu. The majority of those birds have been the egg-laying chickens. Now, they've fallen some. And it remains to see how much a price decrease will produce, if any. One senator has called the FTC to, you know, it's not just oil. Let's look at those egg prices. Basics like flour, milk, butter. Okay, butter. $6 for a pound of butter. That's what it cost last night, $5.99. And butter's up 31%, milk's up 12.5%, flour up 23%. Red meat only went up red meat went down 2%. Poultry prices went up 12.2%. So Whole Foods, which is a big company, their foot traffic in Whole Foods has decreased about 8% from a year before. And Kroger and Company, Albertsons have experienced declines too. Though discounters such as Trader Joe's recorded increases. Well, it just makes sense. If it's cheaper, you go to the place that has it.
I'm sure Costco also.
Now, Whole Foods has 500 stores in U.S., Canada, and U.K. Now, what they're going to try to do is have more sales and lower prices. Streamline things so that they can bring the cost of the food, of staples down. So it's not just in your imagination if you're saying, gosh, the food's gone up. Well, it has gone up. It's gone up, if it goes up 11% this month and another 12% the next month, I mean, at what point does it get really weird? okay. So, and this inflation started, I hate to say it, my friends. I know that some of my very liberal friends are out there. But it started under Joe Biden. Hey, Joe, own it. Okay. After the news, Congressman Moffitt, he's already called in and checked to make sure he was on today. Yep, we got you. So he'll come on then, and we'll be talking about a number of different things that are happening back in...
weather balloons.
Well, let me hit that real quick. We got time. China has admitted it's their balloon. They've come out and said it. But they're saying it was a privately owned balloon that does meteorological stuff. And because of the, because of the westerly winds and all that, a balloon is very, once it's up there, it's kind of hard to control, right? Once it's in the air, and they're saying it pushed it over into the United States, and it's for meteorological stuff. Now, that to me sounds like a rational explanation. However, it comes from China. So, and they say, why don't you just shoot it down? Well, here's the official reason. They're afraid that if they shoot it down, that the debris will land on somebody, cause damage. It's in Montana.
All 10 people are in danger.
I mean, just tell everybody in Montana, there's 12 of them, go inside your homes. We're going to shoot down this balloon. So, now... However, it could hit a cow and the cost of beef, or it could hit a chicken farm. And then we're really in trouble. Anyway, that is the official explanation for the Chinese balloon that's flying across the United States. We'll be right back after the news, and Congressman Moffitt will be calling in.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The experts' predictions fell far short of the actual number of jobs created last month. American employers grew their payrolls by a whopping 517,000 jobs in January, dropping the unemployment rate to a decade's low of 3.4%. That suspected Chinese spy balloon continues to drift across the continental U.S. The Pentagon has been watching it since it entered American airspace several days ago. Our military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, says China's behavior should surprise no one.
The Chinese are incredibly provocative, and they will push as far as they think they can and get away with it. And in this particular case, I think that they're testing us, and you know, the fact that the Pentagon said this is not the first incident suggests to me that they will continue to do this until we push back.
The balloon spotted most recently over Montana, home to some sensitive military installations, President Biden reportedly said no to shooting down that balloon. Well, the Northeast is the next stop for the Arctic Express.
National Weather Service forecaster Bob Orovec says temperatures already have started dropping in parts of the Northeast.
The worst part of this upcoming cold snap is going to be the winds. That's going to produce some pretty low wind chill. Wind chill values on Saturday across the Northeast are going to be anywhere from 20 to 30 degrees below zero.
But Orovec says cold temperatures won't last the entire weekend.
It's going to be a pretty brief cold snap. Today into Saturday are going to be the worst days, and then by Sunday, the temperatures start to rebound across the entire area.
I'm Donna Water.
Watching Wall Street, stocks are mixed right now. The Dow is up 41 points on the NASDAQ, 25 points lower, and the S&P is down 9 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you know that the average price of a used car is up over 40% from just a year ago? The cost of living has gone up, and the cost for auto repairs is rising as well. The car you have needs to last you longer than ever. So if your vehicle has less than 150,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all, you need to call CarShield at 800-523-8667. We've just announced a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle service plan to help save thousands of dollars on out-of-pocket expenses for future auto repairs. While the cost for new and used cars continue to go up, CarShield offers protection plans at an all-time low. Drivers who activate their plan today will also receive 24/7 coast-to-coast roadside assistance, courtesy towing and emergency tire, battery, and key lockout service. Call 800-523-8667 today to save 20% on your plan. That's 800-523-8667. Keep your car protected. Call 800-523-8667. Again, 800-523-8667.
The Taliban roughed up and then arrested a professor who advocates for the education of females in Afghanistan.
Professor Ismail Mashal ran a private university in Kabul and came into the spotlight when he tore up his academic records live on television, protesting against the Taliban's ban on university and secondary school education for women and girls. Last month, he'd spoken to the BBC, saying Afghan men must stand up for the rights of women. Eyewitnesses say Professor Mashal was slapped, punched and kicked by Taliban security personnel before he was detained.
The BBC's Yokita Lamaye. Top European Union officials are meeting in Kiev with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. It's a show of support for the country as it battles the Russian invasion and strives to join the European Union as well as the NATO military alliance. News and analysis at townhall.com. Police in New Jersey are investigating the death of a borough councilwoman, her body found in an SUV outside her home.
The Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office says 30-year-old Sayreville Councilwoman Eunice Dwumfor was found in a vehicle about 7:20 p.m. Wednesday. Authorities have not made any arrests or said if they believe the motive for the slaying might be personal, political, or a random act. Colleagues recalled the Republican councilwoman as a soft-spoken, devout Christian who could maintain her composure in contentious situations. She served as the borough's liaison to the police department, now helping to investigate her death. Keith Peters reporting.
Looks like Starbucks' bottom line could use a big dose of caffeine. The coffee giant missed its sales target for its fiscal first quarter. It's blamed on COVID restrictions in China, as well as lower consumer demand in other markets. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Getting ready for work. All these things. Yes, there's rain out there, my friends. Today, the 3rd of February, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Real quick, we have Susan Eastman, if you want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay, Susan, good morning. Susan, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
You're on.
Good morning. Okay, well, let's talk about the market. Major averages are mixed right now after a favorable jobs report. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 36 points at 34,092. The S&P 500 is down 6 points, 4,173. And the NASDAQ Composite is losing 13 points at 12,187. Active stocks this morning, Tesla up $8 at $196.45. Ford down 76 cents, trading at $13.55. Amazon down $4.48. at $108.39, and Apple at $5.29, trading at $156.04. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 3.52%. Over to commodities, gold is down $44 an ounce at $1,876, silver down 97 cents at $22.58 per ounce, and crude oil is priced at $77 a barrel. Excuse me. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President, Investments, Stifel, Nicholas & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR.
Susan, thank you so much for joining
us on
Friday.
Go Red today.
Go Red today.
Go Red today.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
You
Bye-bye.
Bet. Hey, Susan Eastman is with Stifel Investments. She's the First Vice President of Investments, located at 2701 Park Marina Drive. You can reach her at 530-244-7199. Is that the phone call we had?
That was it, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, got it. Now, let's go into the weather. Just give us a synopsis.
Oh, you just want to know about the rain.
Yes.
Well, it's going to be rainy. No. Today's
rain. The weather rock is wet.
Yes.
The weather rock is never wrong. The weather rock is either wet, covered with snow, or hotter than hell. So, that's ready in weather, except for the snow.
Right. Well, today's a high near 50. Northwest winds around 6 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation the rest of the day around 90%, so it's pretty decent. Tonight, it's going to be patchy fog after midnight, otherwise cloudy, low around 42. Saturday is 20% chance of rain after 10 in the morning. Patchy fog around 9 in the morning, otherwise cloudy, high near 52 on Saturday. Low on Saturday night around 42 and still about 6 to 7, 8 miles an hour wind. Chance of rain is about 100%, and then Sunday night, it's going to get frosty around 3 in the morning, partly cloudy, low around 36, and then Monday before 7, it's still frosty. Otherwise, it's going to be sunny and a high near 60, and then it's the next week.
Yeah, next week will be sunny and mild. And that, hey, weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. All the gas, propane gas, comes out of one or two tanks down south. So it comes down to customer service, and Shasta Gas Propane has outstanding customer service. They do treat their customers as friends. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. They've got other deals going on. It's a veteran-owned company. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. And we're waiting for the congressman to call back. Oh, gosh. Where should I go here?
Well, did you know that there's also a day of the week that we missed?
I know.
I didn't expect this one either. It's National Missing Persons Day. So.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, it's, you know.
You know, when Ready Rancheria was on, we talked about the missing women, indigenous women, Native Americans.
Oh,
it is a big deal. I mean, there's, and the problem is, in many cases, there are very large reservations, and they, the civil authorities aren't allowed on the reservations. So it's on the Navajo reservation, if I remember right, there's only two feds allowed on, one FBI agent, one U.S. Marshal. Was allowed on the reservation. The rest of it is, you know, they have the reservation police. And then as soon as you leave the reservation, then you, it falls into it. But, I saw a documentary on missing Native American women. And I mean, it's, the numbers are staggering. You know, there's so many kids and young adults and others that, you know, show up missing all the time, but you can compound that by looking at the number. And many of the missing women are not reported right away.
Yeah.
So it's a it truly is a problem. One of the many, many problems facing Native Americans on these large reservations. There's been, you know, years, decades, who knows, last century. They talked, you know, about doing away with reservations.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, that didn't go very far. The Navajo people and the United States Marine Corps have had a special relationship since World War II. You know, and everybody's heard about the Code Talkers.
Yeah,
Navajos, right. Well, many Navajos, still young men, still join the Marine Corps. And the I had a young Navajo in my company, and he was a good Marine, but at the end of 4 years, and he could have reenlisted for anywhere and all this stuff, but he was going back home. He was going back to the res because
family,
it, that, well, it was family, but it just is. It was his existence was there. So,
his identity, yeah.
Yeah. I had a close friend of mine who's my combat buddy. In fact, was and I talk about him, Donald Jim, every so often, and he is a Navajo, and his father was a career Marine. And he, I said, and so he traveled, you know, to different, you know, he was in, he grew up in the Marine Corps, you know, different bases and all this. And I said, did you spend much time on the reservation? He said, no. He said, my dad and mom would only, they let us go back for, you know, a week or so to visit and all that, but never for like the summer.
Huh.
And I found that real interesting on it. But, and then he married a Hopi woman from the tribe. Hopi or Zuni? Hopi. Anyway, so they were both in the Marine Corps. And
then
they decided, yeah, both officers in the Marine Corps.
That's cool.
They decided that, okay, well, let's get out. And they were interested in law enforcement. So they went to Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix.
And I can just imagine the police recruiter. When they walked in, two Native Americans, college degrees, good Marine Corps careers, and said, we want to join the police department.
Do you want to run the police department?
He probably went to church that day and thanked God. And then they both had very successful careers on the police force there. And he was stayed in reserve, so that's where I met him in Iraq and in Fallujah, where he was on active duty. He was probably on active duty off and on probably for 6-7 years. So, phone just rang. And good morning, Congressman LaMalfa. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning. How are you?
Fine. Hey, how are you doing?
Good, good. I'm just checking the weather using my new Chinese balloon. It's you can track it out for us up there. So.
Well, it's a meteorological balloon. And they, how do you?
of course, Carl. The memes are already out there flying. The humor's there.
Oh yeah, it is.
People see that there's a close up of it that it says "Happy Valentine's, Eric from Thang Thang."
Well, I want to get into that during the show, but. Yeah. You've had a number of press releases lately, and including you being put in charge of a subcommittee for forestry, and I want to talk about that. But you had a really good one, and I quoted it on one of the shows about the amount of water being wasted because of a few storage facilities. But let me take a quick break, and then we'll come back. And I'd like you to address that because the amount of water was just almost – unfathomable, you know, about how much water is rushing
out. You're talking fathoms, Carl?
Yeah, I'm trying to say that, but it's Friday. Okay, so let us take a quick break and we'll be right.
Well, you're affiliated with the Navy. I would have thought you'd have that number. So.
We are Department of the Navy, the men's department. Okay, let us take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 3rd of February, 8:18 in the morning, 40 degrees out there. It's going to be raining, my friends. On the phone is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning.
And when I left, you had a press release that was just staggering in the amount of water that's being flushed out to the ocean. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, Carl, we don't have these atmospheric rivers. We have to have a new term for every weather thing. You notice that lately? You know, we have a snow weather bomb, and the moon now has to have a different term for every time there's a full moon. We got the blood red moon, and we got the little red riding hood moon. I don't know who's naming all this stuff, but anyway, it's you know, this is what used to be known as weather, and it would be, has its ups and downs and things like that. So back generations ago, we had really smart people in charge of water and water infrastructure. They would build the facilities to add to the water supply that they would anticipate people would need for the cities, for, you know, manufacturing and industry, and for, you know, those silly farmers that are out there raising food for all of them. I say silly because I'm a farmer and I'm trying to sell, you know. But, I mean, you know, so it's a deal where it wasn't rocket science before. And actually, rocket science used to be a lot simpler. They managed to put Apollo spacecraft up in the air with less computer technology than is in your phone now. So we used to know how to do this. So the amount of water that we need for a growing state increases with the need for more food, more housing. You know, we're way behind on housing that in this state for the people who want to live here. And they throw around the word affordable housing a lot. And that's a whole other sidebar. What is the term affordable housing meaning if you're a Democrat? It means throw money at it instead of doing things to bring the cost of housing down, such as having an available lumber supply property that you can build it on that isn't hyper expensive. But that all said, we have so much water that we could be saving and storing that what's gone through the Delta is somewhere between 90-95% of the water going through the Delta is not trapped behind Lake Oroville, Lake Folsom, Lake Shasta, or some of our smaller facilities around the state. And here's the kicker, you know. We have what we have right now. We won't put a dam up overnight in order to take advantage of this, but we have two sets of pumps down at the south end of the Delta. One's a federal set and one's a state set. And they can combine, if my numbers are right, pump, I think, maximum of 5,000 and 10,000 CFS. It's either that or 10 or 20. I got to check quick on that. But
yeah,
they can pump a heck of a lot of water and be putting that water into what's known as the San Luis Reservoir. If you ever cut over from the South San Jose area, Morgan Hill, over to I-5, and Highway 152, you go right by it.
Yeah.
That facility holds a tick over 2 million acre feet. So it's an opportunity anytime you get a decent amount of rain to put water into that facility. You know, we need to have the gates closed on Oroville, Shasta, Folsom until lakes reach either the protocol for flood level or they get full, you know, in the early spring. And we should be chugging water at every opportunity into that San Luis Reservoir, because what we've been through the last couple of years, water shortages. And you saw right what happened in your backyard with the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District, and a lot of devastation that happened to those folks there because the Bureau of Reclamation, in concert with the State Water Resources Control Board, underlying that word control, decided they were only going to allocate 18% to the settlement contractors, which were allowed under the law 75%. Okay? So they broke the contract. They broke basically the law. And they did not have a negotiation saying, like, well, we're in a tough spot in Shasta. Maybe that 75 is unachievable. Maybe we need to knock that down. But we need to sit at the table with you because we're breaking a contract to do it. So 18% wasn't even enough to get the ditches wet down at Anderson.
Yeah, it wouldn't have even reached the Crown Motors downtown.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah. So, but there's been a lot of turmoil there because of that, and people, you know, they get this information on that as to how far that would have gotten. Well, thankfully, this year's Shasta Dam is already higher than its peak point last year. It's approximately 57% of capacity of the lake right now. And that's the number you need to really think about, is how much is actually in the lake. I see a lot of numbers flying around. Oh, it's at 84% of average, or, you know, 89, or Oroville's at, you know, 79% of average. Well, who cares what average is? If what matters, I mean, what's the average of the amount of gas I have in my tank in my car? What matters is, do I have enough gas right now from here to drive to Salt Lake City, or do I have to stop and fuel up? You know, how much do we have in the tank? And so, And so that means our strategy for filling the lakes means no frittering away the water that we are getting and can store, you know. So, the Klamath Lake is a similar deal. They just keep running water down the river for various fish protocols or disease flushing or whatever. I mean, it's a Jekyll and Hyde deal up there because they also want to keep the lake extra full because they believe that benefits the sucker fish up in that lake that they believe is being helped by doing so, which their science would say is counter. But I know I'm all over the map here, Carl, on this.
Well, we're not taking advantage of
the water. The water that we're getting, we're not taking advantage of it by storing it the way we could be. And it's appalling with how much people have suffered with lack of water in the state. To our economy, to the food supply, you know, $10 eggs, well, maybe it's not the fault of the eggs, but grain, everything else, nuts. So go ahead, Frank.
Well, I saw $7 eggs yesterday, but, you know, something that you've been pushing for as long as I know, and the money's been there, is the Sites Reservoir, and it still isn't there. And how much water could have been stored there? And like you said, we've got storage facilities we're not putting water in. It was, I forget how many, 95 million gallons a day or something going out into the ocean. And instead of storing, if you just store 10% of this, you know, that it would take us through the summer. I think people just don't understand the mechanics or who's making these decisions, and they're not like elected officials. These are like people appointed to boards doing these things. What's it going to take to get Sites Reservoir open? Will it happen in my lifetime?
I believe so. I hope you live long, but and me too, and everybody else, our listeners. It's moving. It's glacially moving, I tell people. Newsom, you know, is pretending to be supportive of it there, but if they're really supportive of it and somehow understood the need besides environmental needs, they would be cracking the whip on the permit process and the funding and all that, and they're just barely moving along on it. So I believe Sites Reservoir is coming along. I believe it'll probably break ground in 2024.
Oh.
I got my fingers crossed a little bit on that.
Yeah.
A liar on the radio here. But I believe it's moving that direction. Now, they can always throw a curveball at it. Oh, you guys forgot to study for the snail darter, you know, or some other species. So, and that's what happens all the time. They'll get right to the end, right to the precipice on that, or on, say, a timber harvest, especially after a salvage, a salvage harvest after a fire, let's say. So they're over there on one of the coastal counties, Mendocino, I think it was, a few years ago. They studied the sucker for a year and a half. Some environmental group from the coast pops up with, oh, you forgot to check for, you know, the salamander or something. And they take it down to, they shop for some judges down in San Francisco, and they got a three-judge panel to go 2-1, say, yeah, he didn't study for the salamander enough. Go back to the drawing board, waste another year, and you don't get to salvage the timber because then it's too...
Too old.
Has too much rot. Yeah. Too much rot by then after the fire. So, you know, it's a very disingenuous process, and I shudder at what they'll come up with on the storage project. The virus, they'll be sitting there waiting for something, and they always find sympathetic judges in San Francisco to mess things up on, whether it's on the Klamath Lake or timber harvest or what have you. I mean, so the root of what you said a minute ago, like you got these unappointed boards. It's the governor that appoints them, and it's the president that appoints them at the federal level. Uh-huh. That's where the accountability has to trace back to, because they are appointed people, and that's not, you know, extraordinary. I mean, in government, you know, you can't have the elected officials running everything, because government is so big, and we're in a republic. The people elect us to go do the work of putting things in place that work for the people, and so... we're supposed to have the authority over the appointees, and the people have the authority over the electeds, and shouldn't have to be feeling like they're second-class citizens when they go speak to their appointed people that are supposed to be doing the job for them. So needs to be a lot more accountability. So in the committee work I hope to do, this year. I'm on three committees this time: agriculture, natural resources, and transportation infrastructure. All those, in one way or another, have to do with our forestry, our water supply, building dams, building highways, fixing our levees, making stronger our flood control systems, all that stuff. That's what I asked for, and I was thankful to get them all, because those are all the things we need up here to have our towns and counties have the blueprint to do what people can go out and do best. I understand that everybody's a farmer, not everybody's a logger or a miner and all that, but all those things are what help to build the town that has an economy then. That used to be it. Not everybody can be in a room on a computer looking at data all day or coding something, because at the end of the day, you don't have anything to eat or nothing to keep the lights on while you're doing that, right? So,
oh, no, absolutely. Hey, Congressman, I need to take a two minute break here, but when we come back, I want to talk about, you've just been appointed to head up this subcommittee on forestry, and it's mm-hmm. way I understand it's a standalone forestry subcommittee, and I'd like to talk about what kind of impact that can have on, because I know how you feel and how all of us feel about here about cleaning the forest up, but what kind of impact that can have on our on Northern California. So we're going to be gone for two minutes. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, Man's Last Stronghold. I'm going to get the congressman down there one day. And they work by appointments only, 530-244-9478. And like I said, Man's Last Stronghold, right off of Athens Avenue. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. We'll be right back. 99 red balloons floating in the summer sky. Panic bears, it's red alert. There's something here from somewhere else. When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Grab your girlfriends and your coworkers and join Shasta Regional Medical Center for the Go Ready Luncheon 2023. Friday, February 10th, this year's lineup of speakers are dynamic and inspirational. Grab a glass of champagne and shop vendor booths from local retailers and health educators. Learn about women's heart health information and get inspired in 2023. For sponsor information and tickets, go online to ShastaRegional.com. February 10th, Go Ready at the Holiday Inn. Doors open at 11 a.m.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's going to be rainy today. It's going to be rainy tomorrow. And this will last till like Monday, and then we're going to have some nice weather after that. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. I'm on the phone with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And Congressman, I really do appreciate once a month you take time to talk to us and your constituents. And we've been doing this for years now. So you've just been assigned the head of a subcommittee that has to do with force management. And it's a it's a new committee, force subcommittee, and it's a standalone committee. So can you tell us what it is and what kind of impact it can have on us up in the North State?
Yeah, it's a committee that I've been on in different forms. And this year it's been reconstituted as forestry alone. It had conservation, which were, you know, the conservation programs that USDA runs, so that's been folded into other committees, but it's still underneath the agriculture full committee that I'm on anyway. So I like that we're going to be able to focus all of our time on the forest issues, especially in the West, that are so dire these days. We have direct jurisdiction over the U.S. Forest Service, which, you know, there's a lot of great people that work at the Forest Service and go out and do the job every day. But when you're talking about the upper levels of it there, I wonder what they wake up in the morning and think we need to be doing. And so we can bring those Washington, D.C. Bureaucrats in and grill them on that. Say, you know, what are the goals here? We don't have enough money, we don't have enough staff. Well, they spent 2 years overdoing it on COVID stuff, like, yep, we're in COVID training, we're at home doing training, and we can't assemble. Like, look, dudes, you're out in the forest, man. You can settle in a little bit and you'll get some of the work done. So, but that's been true of a lot of the government agencies who passed a bill, very recently here to basically the Go Back to Work Act, saying, you know, we're not to have 80% of these agencies work at home. So, I wanted to call it the Get Back Act, but because I'm a Beatles fan, but they didn't
go for that. Huh?
That but, no.
Okay, so it sounds like you're going to be able to hold people's, and should I say it, hold their feet to the fire, and say
I can say that.
You can say it.
Yeah.
To say, look, we obviously have a problem out here. Anybody knows we have a problem with fires throughout, you know, Northern California, Oregon, Washington, everywhere. What are we doing to enhance the forest health by cleaning it out and streamlining everything? I can't wait to hear answers
on that.
Not enough.
I'd say it's not nearly. So many people in the industry know what needs to be done, and if you just unleash the private sector, we should have other people doing the managing. Maybe this Forest Service can sit back in the COVID buildings and watch and monitor, you know, fill out paperwork and stuff. But we need real foresters out there assessing what we should be doing. And I guess I say some of them are out doing that, but it's this term pace and scale is what we need. We need to vastly increase the pace and the scale of the work being done, because a year ago the forest chief came out with a plan that, and I think they believe it's an ambitious plan, that they launched at a meeting we were at there, said we're going to cover 20 million acres over 10 years. Well, that sounds like a big number, right? And you'd say, okay, over 10 years, that's 2 million acres a year, gotcha. So then my next question, how many acres does the Forest Service have at its purview? The number's 193. For round figures, we'll call it 200 million acres. So 2 million a year out of 200 million means it'll take 100 years to cover all that land. The trees grow a lot faster than that.
Is there a look of amazement on their face?
There's always a bureaucratic answer.
You know, Congressman, one of the things, since we're moving into renewables, cogen plants are renewable energy. And we've got all the stuff we need to run cogen plants all over Northern California. Can you use that? That's an environmental plus, moving away from the horrible petroleum products to renewables, which cogen plants do.
That would be, it's a win-win-win. I'm sure you told me, heard me told you
tell you that and talk about that for as many years we've been doing the radio here. Like, why don't we put this product to work? And there is a tiny amount of it that does happen, but a lot of that is kind of a state jurisdictional deal as to how they regulate what they want to see as renewables down there. And they love windmills, and they love solar panels. They like geothermal a little tiny bit, but you can hardly get the geothermal plants to come in because environmental concerns are always like, oh, you're going to put a hole in the ground. So, and it's just so disingenuous that you have a group of people in control. I mean, when they keep electing Gavin Newsom, we're going to keep being tied up like this in our state of California. And, you know, Trump, he had 4 years, and he was turning the tide a little bit with some of the federal agencies, you know, changing biological opinions on water usage and allocation and such to be a little more down the middle and reasonable. And we're just bound up by this. And so voters keep voting these people in from the city and stuff and then wonder why they're paying so much for fuel and eggs and everything else. And, that, and you know, do we have to learn from a complete electricity power shutoff? So I've been spending some time with the American Nuclear Society folks here in D.C. They'll have an occasional dinner, and we get to talk to a lot of really smart, informed people. Some might be commissioners on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Others are all in the field. Others want to build plants and all that. So it's really cool to sit and be able to talk with and ask questions and listen to these folks that are thinkers, and they're trying to find out how can we untrack the ability to build more energy using nuclear power, and they just see how you're for 14 years trying to get anywhere on getting a plant sited and maybe permitted and start to be built. It's just there's not a whole lot these days in governing that is a fast track to getting it what you want done. And so, you know, we need energy. People need energy. It's what we do. America thrives on it. We're prosperous because of it. And you see all these people trying to tear it down. You know, on one hand, they want to convert everything to electricity powered, you know, whether it's your automobiles or your stoves, crying out loud. That's a hot topic the last few weeks. No more gas-powered stoves. Well, everybody I know that has one likes them all, pretty much loves them because, you know, when you turn on the flame, you regulate the flame exactly what you want. You know, the electricity coils on the other ones, yeah, you don't know what you get, and it takes a lot longer. And now they're trying to make it into a health issue, like it's unhealthy to have these gas. Oh, shoot, you got gas water heaters. Carl, sorry, I'm all over the map here again. But
well, let me get
biomass
you.
Putting the biomass to work would be huge for our area because we're cleaning up the forest of stuff that's going to burn that makes the forest less healthy. When all that stuff is out in the forest, it doesn't release water down to our streams and rivers because you got tying up the water supply and not even letting the snow hit the ground versus a healthy forest that has 50 adult trees per acre. And so you're putting employment back here. You put that biomass fuel onto the deck there near a power plant. You've got 24/7. 365 available power. You don't have to wait for the sun come up, or the clouds to blow away, or the wind to start blowing, or the wind to slow down. You can't run a windmill if the wind is blowing too hard, too. That's just the funny thing about windmills. But
No. It just seems like, you know, you have been talking about it, and people agree. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, it's something it's a win-win-win for everybody, and yet it's a small group of people will not let it happen. Now we have to take 2 minutes.
That's why we can't lose elections, Carl. Because I know. We need to appoint people to the agencies that are thinking about this stuff, and we need the executive to appoint judges on that. Don't automatically just give every point to the environmentalists. You know, all we got to do is go stop for a judge in San Francisco, and they pretty much get everything shut off.
We got to take 2 minutes, but when we come back, you know, one thing that's been in the news a lot, and I'm not quite sure how it works, and I'd like you to explain to everybody, how do committee assignments work? That how do you get appointed to committees? Can you address that when we get back?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, we're going to take 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Start your year off right by coming down to Wind River Resort and Casino and playing in the $85,000 Trucks and Bucks Swipe to Win drawing. Swipe your River Club card daily to win 3 slot plays, 3 entries, and other instant prizes. Weekly drawings every Saturday starting at 7 p.m. 5 winners every half hour win 3 slot plays. Join us for the final drawing on February 25th, where one winner will receive a brand new Chevy Silverado. For all the details, download the Wind River app or see windriver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 3rd of February, 8:46 in the morning, 42 degrees out there. It's going to be raining today and tomorrow night. Be careful out there. It's going to get cold Sunday, so be careful of the ice. We're on the line with Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and when we left right before the break, I asked him, you know, it's been in the news, and committee assignments, how are they done? Because there's been all types of consternation. Schiff was removed, Swalwell was removed, Omar was removed, and then some Republicans were not given the heads of committees. So how does committee assignments work? And how important is that?
That's reasonably important. It's each party, each conference, as we call them. You got the Republican conference and the Democrat conference is the two entities of the majority and majority of the House of Representatives. So the Republican conference, the members, you know, the new freshmen or established ones will apply for the committees. They send around, you know, a couple forms and say what ones would you be interested in. And it's wise to talk to the people that have been there for a while and see what really comes of it. Like, the highly desired committees are Ways and Means and the Energy and Commerce. And so everybody wants to work towards getting those if you aspire towards, you know, that sort of thing. There's some folks that like to get on TV and they want to be on the Judiciary Committee or the Oversight Committee. Those are the ones where you see the, you know, guys like Jim Jordan and others grilling on the various issues, and maybe they have Fauci in there, maybe they have other government bureaucrats, or they try and make a spectacle out of the president or something like that. So anyway, there are different committees you can ask for, and Judiciary, you know, does really good work with the Republican president on trying to get down to what's going on. They're going to be doing the Hunter Biden stuff, and they're going to be doing the Fauci stuff and COVID. And I think there's going to be a revamp of January 6th and ask all the questions that need to be asked about why was the Capitol Police not reinforced with National Guard when they had intel from all sorts of sources that there was going to be a problem, right? Instead, they wanted to make it a witch hunt turned into all about what Trump may or may not have said. So I think there's going to be a lot more stuff going on asking all the other 183 questions on here. But on getting on committees, the members will apply for the committees that they're interested in, and think they, you know, for whatever reason they want to do that. Is it good for their district? Is it good for what they're interested in, what their career is, or stuff they enjoy, whatever. So I've always stuck with the things that have to do with our rural districts and the needs of it. And so that's why I'm on agriculture, natural resources, and transportation infrastructure.
So
that has to do with water, dams, flood, you know, all that. I don't have to say that again. So you apply. The what's called the steering committee will, there's about, I don't know, 18 or 19 members of that steering committee. They'll meet up and they'll process and look at all the names and look at all the committee slots there are. The majority in the House gets more slots on the committee. Generally, if there's like 40 people on the committee, the majority gets four more than the minority. So it'll be 22 to 18, let's say. And so I can't remember the numbers right now, but that's approximately what the numbers are on the Ag Committee, for example. So the majority get the spoils, the majority gets the chair, the chairman, and the minority will have what's called the ranking member, which means their number one, their point person for the minority in the committee. So those are more or less by seniority over time. They've probably been on the committee for 10 years or longer, and they'll jostle amongst themselves amongst other guys and gals that have been on there for 10 years. The speaker and the party leaders will, in the conference, will decide who gets chairmanship. It isn't voted on by the committee members or by the conference in general. It's kind of more of a top side deal. And you can tell who the committee, you usually know that there are the top two that are going to be chair of the committee. So you can kind of tell who's going to be just from their work over the years.
So you
got to populate the committees out to their full numbers, and so you have to apply. And I applied for three committees, and I got all three. Some are going to have to get bumped to say, well, we can give you one, but we'll give you the second one, but we've got a slot over here for you for this one. That needs to be done. You got some committees that are less attractive than others, but a lot of people don't want to be on. Republicans don't generally like to be on the Labor Committee, and I hear they're having trouble populating the Ag Committee with all the Democrats that they want to. But I spoke to some of them.
Which one were they having problems populating with Democrats?
The Agricultural Committee.
The three short.
But I talked to a colleague from Southern Cal, Democrat colleague from Orange County, who have known all through the state legislature. He's actually interested in it. So I said, he's a good guy to work with, right? I said, well, whatever I do to help sort of the right kind of word in, your folks may not want to listen to me on it, but it could be helpful because, you know, we don't have the same world belief in a lot of stuff, but we can find common ground, certainly on water, for Orange County and do things. And Orange County has got its name from having lots of orange groves, but it used to be, it'd be fascinating to go back 100 years and travel the state and see what it used to look like in the South Bay area and along the coast and on all those agricultural areas before they've been, just turned into strip malls and freeways and stuff.
Oh, it's been in my lifetime that they used to have orange orchards out there. And you could drive down the road, and it was just the aroma of the orange blossoms was almost overpowering, and they're all gone. So now McCarthy, he appoints the heads of each committee. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's not him just by himself, but he has a major influence. But his third committee, for example. However many there is, I forget, 20 or whatever it is. They all have one vote. The majority leader has two votes, and the speaker has four votes. So they have a little extra weight on who they decide.
Okay.
Who's going to be on there. So I have the nice plus of having come up with Kevin McCarthy for 20 years, going back to the state legislature, and he helped with this stuff, so. And then Steve Scalise is our number two guy. We've been good friends since I got there, so it's nice to have six votes so they can pretty much walk in the door. Not that I, you know, taking it for granted or whatever, but that if I don't ask for anything outrageous, that they're going to help me on that. So
sure.
And the guys on the steering committee afterwards told me, "Oh, hey, Doug, you're great, man. The guys like you a lot. They there's no problem with you on that third committee." So that made me feel good. So because we got in to get the three committees, so my third committee was getting put back on natural resources. Since when Mrs. Keene took over in 2018, I had to give up one of the three. So that's the one I figured I'd have to triage.
Hey, Congressman, we got about 4 minutes left. So what do you see here in the next few months that's going to be exciting?
Well, I'm chomping at the bit to get going on on agriculture. We already got field areas set up, one in Texas, one in Central California, and I think we have a good chance of getting. Well, I can't talk ahead of myself too much, but I think our chairman wants to come up to the district on the tail end of that Central California meeting. So I'll let you know if that becomes real or not. It's all scheduled, you know. And look firsthand at our fire situation here. And he's a great guy from Pennsylvania. We already went on to a field hearing in Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago. They have a lot of potatoes back there. So it was actually their state fair, and they built it around agriculture back there. So it was pretty awesome, all the ag items and stuff. But getting back going again from a Republican majority perspective. Not because it's a power trip, because we're going to ask the right questions. We wasted 4 years on Ag Committee, for example, just talking about climate change and, you know, making farmers farm different so they make less CO2 and then the racial makeup of the people working at USDA. I mean, I think, come on, really? We got issues of food supply being all questionable, food prices through the roof, imports, exports, all that stuff. On the energy side, that's where natural resources, you know, hydropower needs to continue to be part of it. Nuclear power needs to be something that we don't lose in this state. You know, we were this close to losing our 9% of our power grid via that nuclear plant that San Luis Obispo, where it was the other day. So, you know, there's just a lot of work we could be doing here. Transportation infrastructure, that means raising Shasta Dam. If we can get that to come to it, we can get Sites Reservoir going. We have to put, you know, more third lane on I-5 and repair the right lane where the trucks need the heck out of it, you know. And I'm not anti-truck. We need to help our truckers because they're getting run out of this. We lost 70,000 mom-and-pop truck outfits as of the first of the year because of the overreach by the California Air Resources Board. So we're looking at what we can do with the interstate commerce to somehow still allow trucks to travel interstate to not be run roughshod by Sacramento. So there's just so much potential there. And Carl, the thing is, with the Republican majority, we have committees we can control. We can control the agenda, what we talk about, what we focus on. And we want to get back to after this horrific 2 years under Biden and the bunch of time the race is under COVID. Isn't it interesting how everything is coming around on COVID, on how effective masks are and how it reports and takes the so-called vaccine?
Yeah.
More every day is coming out on these guys rushed it and they did it a service. And there's people, there needs to be people prosecuted on that, and there needs to be a whole lot of apologies for everybody that stood alongside and said, yeah, you do this, and persecuted folks, and, you know, all that stuff. So you never saw me being part of that. I was urging people to make their own decisions, informed decisions with sources they trust. And the medical community needs to take a good long look inwardly at what they did, because they treated people pretty poorly in some cases, calling people that wanted ivermectin a bunch of horse paste, you know. I mean, that'll be part of the accountability that's coming up this year, Carl, all that stuff. You know, Fauci needs to be held accountable on that. We've been lied to by a lot of these folks. And, you know, like on this weather balloon deal, spy balloon. I almost got sucked into it. I was just starting to get information on the plane last night home, so I'm a little short of info on that. But why don't we shoot it down? You know, that'll be a very key question. Why are they allowed to have a balloon hanging over our missile silos, for crying out loud. I remember I wasn't old enough, but I read the story about the U-2 getting shot down over Russia because they were spying on Russia. So that seems to me like the way it always has been done. If you're caught spying, you have a consequence. But the military is actually, supposedly Biden didn't want to shoot it down. The military said, no, we don't know what kind of debris might hit the ground. Like, well, it's over Montana. I don't know. Maybe the odds are it's not going to hit any cities and stuff. So the problem, Carl, I don't know who we can trust anymore. I don't know if General Milley or Austin or these guys are even honest. And if these guys are making the decisions, what the real deal is. So I hope to get information very soon.
We'll get a briefing soon.
Anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for being on with us. And next time on, maybe we can talk about that. Okay, sir. Thanks very much for being on, and have a good weekend. Be safe out there. Okay, everybody. It's going to be raining.